Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When someone sacrifices their life for someone, we call them a hero. If someone steps in front of a train and pushes someone out of the way and dies by the train, it brings tears to our eyes of the sacrifice of the life. The Father and the Son sacrificed Jesus for us to be given eternal life.
Can we ever fully know the tremendous sacrifice that was made for you and me when God sacrificed His only Son so that all the terrible, filthy sins we commit could be forgiven? That kind of love is hard to understand, but you are worth that much to God. He longs to spend forever with you, and He offers that eternity as a precious, priceless gift. With part two of our message out of Luke 18, 1 through 18, here's Robert Furrow.
The Father and the Son sacrificed Jesus for us to be given eternal life. Now, Abraham pulls back the knife, and the angel of the Lord stops him, which we kind of know before we even get there, right? This isn't going to happen because in the law, Abraham lives before the law, but in the law it says, don't sacrifice your children. And we know that the Hittites, the Sumerians, the Canaanites, the Edomites, the surrounding regions sacrificed their children to God in the ancient days. 1,000 year BC, 1,500 years BC, it was a common practice to sacrifice your children. So this isn't so far out of the culture, but it's something God doesn't want. And so the angel of the Lord stops Abraham, provides a ram caught in the thickets, and he sacrifices that ram instead. Now in the New Testament, we get what's going on in the mind of Abraham. Abraham's got this conflict. Through Isaac, I'm going to bless the entire world. Now go and sacrifice Isaac to me. So in the very beginning of that passage in Genesis, it says, God tested Abraham. It was a test. That helps. And then in Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham, by faith, offered up Isaac, believing that God was going to raise him from the dead. Now we learn what's going on in his mind. In his mind, he could only reconcile God saying through Isaac, I'm going to bless all nations, and him being told to sacrifice him, that he was going to be obedient to God, but God was going to raise him from the dead, which is even more of a picture of Christ rising from the dead. In other words, the testings of God are not always easy. And God testing our faith by making us wait is not always easy. It's difficult. Listen to what it says about our faith being tested in 1 Peter 1:7. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. God wants you to have a genuine faith because genuine faith is much more precious than gold. It's more important for you to have a real, sincere, genuine faith than it is for you to be rich. You're going to be better off in the long run having a genuine faith than having wealth. And then he says, tested by fire. So God's going to test our faith by fire. Wonder how many times we failed those tests. I wonder how many times we didn't even know we were being tested. But God's testing us to reveal what's in our heart, to reveal our faith. And then he says this, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's got a reason for making us wait, that he is testing the genuineness of our faith. And to continue to pray, being persistent in it is a test. Are you going to continue to pray? Don't lose heart. Those are the two things that could happen. You could persist and receive, or you could lose heart. There's another passage that goes along these lines, and that is in Galatians, if I can find it. Let me just quote it to you. It talks about losing heart that says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. In other words, if you don't lose heart, it says. So in other words, you could pray for something for a long time and then lose heart and not receive it. You could do good for a long time and then lose heart and not receive the rewards for what you have done. Now, the third reason that I have for us persisting in prayer is even better. It's for sure what God's doing, okay? I think God's doing these other things, but this is for sure what God's doing. And that is, we are in a spiritual battle. And I think sometimes we don't know it. We're in a spiritual battle. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians, this is in the putting on the armor passage. The armor is pretty simple. It's a helmet of salvation. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's the belt of truth. It's your feet prepared with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the shield of faith that can stop the attacks of the devil, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Interestingly enough, if we were to break all of those down, none of them represent prayer. However, we're told this in Ephesians 6:12 in this passage. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of the age, against a spiritual host of wickedness. Four different types of fallen angels. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, a host of darkness. Four different types. And it says that we battle against them in spiritual places. Now, here's what I think is going on here. I think, first of all, that when God created the celestial kingdom, we're talking about angels in heaven, and he created angels to occupy heaven. He wanted them to rule with him. And so when you go to the Old Testament, there are passages that talk about this council of spiritual beings, of angels, who rule heaven with him. God didn't want to rule alone. God wanted participants in it. And when he made Adam and Eve, you go back to Genesis and you read that God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth and the animals. Now they gave that up. And Satan is now the god of this world. Dominion means to rule. So God gave Adam and Eve in humans dominion over the earth. So God created a celestial kingdom that angels would rule with him, a terrestrial kingdom that people would rule with him. We've given that up. It will be restored. We're told in the millennium period, we will rule with Christ. He's going to have us rule with him. And now in this interim that we are in a spiritual battle with him, God could take care of the enemy in a moment, in a heartbeat, and one day will. But right now, he wants us in the battle. That's why we put on our spiritual armor. And then at the very end of that passage, after it tells us we're in a battle, put your armor on, which is, by the way, make sure you're saved. That's the helmet of salvation. Make sure you got your helmet of salvation on. Breastplate of righteousness. Make sure there's nothing separating you. You've got the righteousness of Christ. There's no one confessed and repented sin in your life. The belt of truth, that you are seeking truth. Your feet prepared with the gospel. You're taking the gospel with you everywhere you go. The shield of faith that fights and puts out the fiery darts of the enemy. And the word of God, which is our offensive weapon. Every time Jesus was tempted, he used the word of God to battle against him. All right? So all of these things are given to us. And then it says at the very end of that passage, put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, and then stand and pray. So prayer is a part of that spiritual warfare. We put on our armor and we stand and we pray because God wants to fight along with us. We are in the battle. And here's the thing. You may be like, I don't want to be in the battle because I don't want to mess with demons. I got a rule. That's not my rule. I'm just saying that we say things like this. I have a rule that I'll leave them alone if they leave me alone. That's good enough for me. I don't want them going, I need to take care of this guy. I had that rule in my house. After my late wife passed away, there's a giant wolf spider living by one of our pictures. And I get the heebie-jeebies with spiders really bad. If I take a shoe to smash one, half the time I miss because of the heebie-jeebies. I'm like, because I don't like it. So I had a rule. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You can stay here, but I'll leave you alone. Now, I've since remarried, and I no longer can have that rule. I have to take care of spiders in my home. My stepson was over last week, and there was a spider in our bathtub. And my wife told me, hey, there's a spider in the bathtub. And I went and I looked at it. It was pretty big and black. And I looked at it, and I was like, Hey, how are you with spiders? I said to him. And he goes, fine. I said, there's one in our bathtub. I said, okay, man. He got toilet paper. He reached down, smashed it, threw it in the toilet, flushed the toilet. And I'm like, that's pretty easy. That would not have been how I would have done it. I would have grabbed the toilet paper, started reaching for the spider. The spider would have made some kind of a flinch because then I would have flinched and it would have just been this mess that would have taken place. However, in the spiritual realm, we have been guaranteed success. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Jesus told the disciples, behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Serpents and scorpions there are demonic spirits. They're a metaphor for demonic spirits, and they will not hurt us. At the end of the book of John, we're told the evil one cannot touch you. The Bible tells us give no place to the enemy. The only way the enemy can come after you is if you give place to the enemy, but God wants us in the spiritual battle. So this makes sense when it comes to persistent prayer. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, it's interesting, Daniel 12, it says, Daniel 12:1, and Michael, the prince of Israel, the great prince of Israel, will stand up in the last days. That's just a great picture to me. Michael is the angel over the nation of Israel. Michael the archangel. And in the last days, a time of Jacob's trouble, the Bible says, Michael's going to stand up. And I don't think he's standing up for any other reason that it's not going to be good to certain people that Michael stands up. Michael's like, I'm standing up. So then earlier in the book, Daniel's praying. And he prays for 21 days. And at 21 days, an angel comes to him. And the angel says, on the day you started praying, I left, but was hindered by the prince of Persia. Persia is Iran. So there's a prince over Israel, Michael, and there's a prince over Persia, and it hindered the prayer from coming. And we battle against principalities and powers. So I think that over every nation, there's a fallen prince and an angelic prince that are battling. And then he says at the end of it, I have to go because I have to battle the prince of Greece. So now this angel, who I'm taking as a prince as well, is now going to have to go and battle the prince of Greece when he leaves. Now, if Daniel started praying and the prayer left heaven, the answer left heaven, but was hindered by a battle in the sky, and Daniel kept praying, could it be if Daniel gave up that his prayer would not have been answered? In other words, could it be your answer's already on the way and that God wants to partner with you and have you involved in it? And so God is looking for you to persist in your prayers so you can receive it and not lose heart. I think that's a strong biblical case. I could make it stronger. I think that's what's happening. And for that reason, when you are in the pit, when your family's in the pit, when there's something you really care about, pray and don't lose heart. Keep praying. Set an alarm on your phone to pray at a certain time of day for a certain thing you care about and persist with fervency in that prayer. Now, I have one more thing I need to cover quickly, and that's the context of this parable. Because you remember, last week we talked about the last days. Jesus talked about what the last days are going to be like when he comes back. The days of Noah, the days of Lot, if you remember. And then he gives this parable. And then in verse 7, he gives this. And context is extremely important. This is right after he says, hear what the unjust judge said. Then verse 7. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. When it happens, it's going to happen fast. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? During the tribulation period, so many people are going to be killed. Faith is going to become rare. But Jesus gives us a clue as to why we're supposed to be persistent in prayer when he says, though God bears long with them, verse 7. He's bearing long with those who are abusing the elect. In his patience, he wants people to get saved. In a passage in Peter about why Jesus hasn't returned yet, it says God desires all to be saved and all to come to the knowledge of the truth. So may we continue in persistence. May we discover what God's want. I have a verse in closing, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So it's a good thing our faith is tested. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Persist, cry out to God, get in the battle, stay in the battle until you receive everything that God has for you. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word that we are spoken so clearly of in these things. Thank you that Luke tells us what this parable is about and that we can understand that we need to persist in prayer. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, and the word Christ simply means Messiah, and there's all those promises of the Messiah. And if you've never received him, if you've never said, Lord, I want you in my life, Jesus used the term born again. You have to be transformed. You've got to invite him in. The thief on the cross did it by simply saying, Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom. And Jesus said to the thief on the cross, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. He was saved with that simple asking that he would be taken into his kingdom. He was crucified, the thief. There's nothing else he could do. Sometimes people will accuse me of easy believism, that I'm just telling people you have to invite Christ into your life and you get saved. And I think God wants it easy. Because if God gave you some great thing to do in order to be saved, you would do it and be proud of it. And God doesn't want you to boast. We're saved by faith through grace, not of any works, lest any man would boast. And so it's simple. You simply say, I want you in my life. I want to receive Christ. I want to receive Messiah into my life. And God will come in. And the Bible says he's going to do several things. He's going to forgive you of all of your sins. That's what the cross was about. He's going to make you a son and a daughter. As a father from heaven, he's going to watch over you. He's going to give you eternity. He's going to give you an inheritance. You are a co-inheritor, the Bible says, with Christ. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So much more that God will do as you receive him as your Savior. Now, I'm going to give you this opportunity, and it's very simple. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, I want you in my life. And I'm going to pray with you, and you're going to ask him in. So if you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're here today, and you would like to invite Christ into your life, then I'm going to ask you to do that simple thing. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take an opportunity to acknowledge your hand and pray for you. First of all, sir, over to my right, your hand went up immediately. God bless you. That's great. God bless you up in the balcony. That's awesome. God bless you, guys, back in the back. That's great. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. The Bible says no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. If you want to live for him now, just raise your hand. If you're online, you could raise your hand as well. Or you could just say, I want you in my life, Jesus. And God bless you, sir, right down here near the front. And if you're listening on the radio, you're wondering, what am I listening to? This is a live service. We're giving people a chance to receive Christ and be born again. And you can pray this prayer with me as well. Out in the pavilion, there on the couch, I see your hands. That's awesome. I see your hand there all the way in the back, sir. God bless you. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you there. God bless you there, sir, as well in the back. That's awesome. All right, you could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. I'm really excited for you guys, and the reason that we applaud is because we know what it's like to give our lives to Christ and how God transforms us and changes us. And God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. You now know God, Jesus Christ. You didn't raise your hand to join Calvary Tucson. You raised your hand to invite Christ into your life, which is much more profound. Now, if you did that, we have a new believers team. These guys are great. There's a new believers table along the wall on the bottom section here. Make your way over to the table after the service. The Bible says we have to confess. Tell them, I gave my life to Christ today. We got a Bible we want to give you, a new believers packet. We want to let you know what we have available for new believers, okay? That you might have a really good start in running for Christ. If you're online or on the radio, get out your phone. If you prayed that prayer and text ready for Jesus to 94,000, the link you get back this time will be our new believers card. Click on that and fill that out, and we'll have people from the church who will get in touch with you promptly. Now I want to pray for you. And I like to pray for you based on what we've been studying. I got a few options today, but I want to pray for your persistence in prayer for the people that you care about, that you would pray for them fervently, that you would be like the psalmist in Psalms 40, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined his ear and delivered me from the pit. May God incline his ear as you patiently wait for him. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands with me, and I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who is here as we lift up our hands made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And I pray that we would be fervent. Help us by your Spirit to be fervent, to be persistent, to not grow weary, to not lose heart, to be in the battle, to see people snatched up from hell because you are working with us. What an absolute blessing. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, amen. Now, I like to give a blessing. And a blessing is simply a prayer that is spoken over people. Jesus said, when someone curses you, bless them. That's a good opportunity for you to give a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. You know, give them a blessing. It says, bless those who hate you, who persecute you. Bless them. The blessing I use is the priestly blessing. It's got the word, the name of God, Yahweh, YHWH. We don't know exactly how it's pronounced, but what's called the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH, in it three times. And God says to the priest, speak the name of God over the people in this manner. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself close to Jesus and not losing heart and persistent until you receive the answer or the will of God in your life.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.